It's time now for the Interpulpit Radio Blast with missionary and pastor Rick Bell. Teaching truth from God's Word that you can use now and not just for the hereafter. And now, here's Rick with today's blast.
Warning, what I'm going to talk about today may offend you. Sensible discretion is advised. No, you don't have to remove the children from the room. It's not going to be like that. It's just that I'm going to be talking about being offended today, and I know that's going to offend someone because everybody is so easily offended today. In our culture, people are just crying and whining, and if something doesn't just go exactly the way they want it to, if you don't say something just the right way, if it's not politically correct, oh, I'm offended. That hurts me. It shocks me. It gives me goosebumps. I don't know what to do. You know, I have to sue you now because you have said something and you're not allowed to say that. But what I have to say, you better listen to me. You know, it's just terrible hypocrisy, because really what it boils down to is people are offended by what is usually good. For example, prayer in schools or the Ten Commandments, and an atheist walks in and says, that offends me. I can't handle somebody praying. How am I going to grow up and be a responsible citizen? How am I going to be mentally sound if I hear somebody use the name of Jesus in a respectable and reverent manner? This is what we've come to, folks. And just recently, I recall that there was a problem in England because they wanted to show an advertisement. The Church of England was promoting a website on prayer. And their advertisement before the movie started in the cinema was a group of people reciting the Lord's Prayer, different people line after line reciting the Lord's Prayer. And it was, you know, I actually saw it. It was on YouTube and it wasn't bad. It wasn't offensive. But the cinemas decided not to play it, because they didn't want to risk offending or upsetting somebody. You know, somebody who just doesn't believe in God, I guess it's just going to upset them to sit there for a whole 30 seconds and listen to the Lord's Prayer, and it might just ruin their whole day. Well, the real problem in our culture is that people are offended at what is good, and they're not offended at what is not good. And I'm going to talk more about that a little bit. But before we get into that, I want to talk about a common problem among Christians or members of the body of Christ, members of the church. And we get offended too sometimes. And sometimes we're offended at God. Well, what do you mean by that, Brother Rick? Well, what I mean by that is sometimes you pray for something, you don't get what you prayed for, and then you throw a little hissy fit, or a temper tantrum, or something like that. Or maybe you don't do something like that, but your faith is interrupted for a period. You're caused to stumble because, well, it didn't work. Why didn't that prayer get answered? Why didn't God come through? Why doesn't God show his love in this way, the way I'm asking it? Why? And it boils down to this. We have come to such a place in our culture and even in our spirituality as believers that we think that we're entitled to everything. And now the Bible does give us certain entitlements. The Bible gives us certain covenant rights, and it's good to stand on those rights. And we often talk about that. And that's how faith operates, believing that you are justified by the blood of Jesus, and that makes you righteous in the sight of the Father. And because you're righteous, you are heir, joint heir with Christ to all the covenant privileges that God has given us in the blessing of Abraham. He has said he would bless Abraham, he would bless the nations through Abraham, and he blessed Israel through Abraham. And these are the blessings if you follow me in Deuteronomy 28. These are the curses if you don't follow me, Deuteronomy 28. But look at what happens. Jesus comes and does all the obedience and covers all of our disobedience so that we can just take out the curses portion of Deuteronomy 28, and we can actually believe that we are entitled to the blessings that are mentioned in that chapter, because not because we've obeyed perfectly, but because one has obeyed perfectly on our behalf. And we have been made partakers of the divine nature, it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we have the exceeding precious promises of God. And what do we do with those promises? We stand on the word. We trust God. We say, by his stripes I am healed. We say, God will meet all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we don't waver. And we go forward. And we believe. And we receive. But then there are times when, wait a second, it seems like I didn't receive. And that's what I want to talk about, because we have an episode in Luke chapter 7 in which John the Baptist was in jail and he sent messengers to Jesus to say, are you the one or should we look for another? What was wrong there? John was in jail. He wasn't expecting probably for things to turn out the way they turned out for him. He thought that Jesus was going to ride in on a white horse and conquer all the political enemies of Jerusalem, and that they would have their salvation and deliverance. A lot of the Jews of that time thought that's what Jesus came to do. And the reason they stumbled at Jesus is because he didn't immediately do that. Now, there's a time coming at the end when he's going to return on a white horse and he's going to destroy all our political enemies and all the wickedness in the world in the way they perhaps were hoping he would do so at that time. But he came for a different purpose at that time. Actually, it's all one and the same purpose, but he had to fulfill the spiritual deliverance before the actual physical deliverance. But that's a whole nother theological message. But what I want to look at here is what happened with John and what Jesus said to him. He said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. And the point being that if things don't work out the way you expected them to, there is a blessing for you nonetheless if you remain unoffended. Let's read that passage in Luke chapter 7. Starting at verse 20, it says, when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in the same hour, he, being Jesus, cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way, and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Again, there is a blessing here for John. John certainly wasn't in a blessed situation, was he? He was in prison. He was about ready. We know what happened to him. He lost his head. That just didn't work out the way we would expect it today. And, you know, a lot of people in the church, they just... they're going to go through trials and they're going to see victory in their trials. But then if something happens and it doesn't quite go the way they expected it, they are offended. I recall my pastor friend just told me the story about a woman who had him pray over her car and over her family as they were going to take a long road trip. And he prayed all these blessings of protection over them and safety and God's keeping for them. And she came back and said, Pastor, your prayers didn't work. And I'm upset. He said, well, what's the problem? And she said, well, a piece of gravel hit my windshield and chipped it. Is that all? I mean, this was the problem. They went on this long road trip. They had safety all along the way, but a piece of gravel chipped the windshield. And now the prayers don't work and all this business of trusting God, I guess it's just not something I want to deal with. This is what's wrong in our culture. We are just so easily offended. And you know, we're not easily offended by prayer going on screen before a movie, but we get offended if a chip in our windshield happens or if something doesn't go right in our day. Well, John was having everything go wrong. He was stuck in prison. He wasn't seeing what he thought the scriptures had taught about the Lord. There's another thing, folks. Sometimes we just don't have understanding the way we ought to have understanding. And then sometimes we understand the scriptures, but we don't understand the situation. You might be in a situation and say, but the scripture says I should be free from this. I shouldn't have to be dealing with this. And yet you might have a proper understanding of the scripture, but you may not really understand your situation or what God is trying to get you through at the moment, trying to do with it. But you'll have your victory, you'll have your deliverance, and blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. So right there, you say, I'm going to choose not to be offended. I'm going to choose to love the Lord and not to stumble. Because really what that Greek word is suggesting there, and is sometimes translated otherwise, it says, blessed is he who is not made to stumble because of me. So what's happening here? Stumbling. We are supposed to live a life of faith, and we go, according to Romans 1:17, from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. And what happens when you get offended or when something doesn't work the way you expected it, you are made to stumble, or at least you could be made to stumble there. And Jesus is saying, blessed is he who doesn't stumble at this, who doesn't stumble at me because of something that's going wrong. Stumbling means that there's an interruption to the flow of faith. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And you need to make sure that you are continuing in faith just in these times of question marks and difficult situations when you don't understand everything or why something hasn't worked out. You don't let that interrupt the flow of faith towards your Heavenly Father, who you know and believe and trust loves you, who you know and believe and trust cares for you, who you know and believe and trust will get you through. One way or another, He will see you through. He will give you grace in the meantime, and He has an end for you. He has plans for you of peace and not of evil, plans to give you hope and an expected end, a future. And not only that, He is your exceeding great and He's your exceeding great reward. And this is what I want to really get at. The Lord said, "I am the vine." He did not say, "I am the vending machine." And what happens is sometimes we don't get what we want from Him, but yet He wants to give us eternal life. And sometimes eternal life comes in a form, well, it always comes in a form that's deeper and more powerful and impacting when you're looking straight to Him for the life. Jesus is your life, not the gifts you're looking for, not the resolution to your problems. Those are great and wonderful. You got to have them and you will have them, but your life is not in the answer to your problem. Your life is in the living Lord Jesus Christ, and He wants you to become flowing in faith and fellowship with Him. And blessed is he who does not get offended because something, blessed is he who does not stumble, and that faith and fellowship continues to go back and forth between you and Him. Where you say, "I don't care if I didn't receive what I'm looking for. I don't care if this didn't work out according to the way I understand it should work out. I still believe the word is true, whether I see it or not. And in fact, the word is true in the spirit realm right now for me. I have everything I've asked for. I have it all in Jesus. And it will play out on earth, but if I don't see it immediately, or if it's some, for some reason there's an anomaly, there are anomalies in the universe. I don't know why certain times things don't go according to plan, but we know that whatever happens, God's word is true. And that's what you need to grasp. That's what Jesus wanted John the Baptist to grasp when he was in prison. He told them to go and tell him that the things you've seen, the blind see, the dead are raised, the lepers walk, the lepers are cleansed, the lame walk. And he was telling John things that the prophets in Scripture, particularly Isaiah, had reported. When the Messiah comes, then shall the eyes of the blind be opened, and the deaf will hear, the lame shall leap. He was giving him the word. And he wants you to go to the word and say, "The word is true." Doesn't matter if you're in a prison right now. It doesn't matter if you're living in luxury and comfort right now. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He is your luxury. He is your comfort. He is the Word. He is the truth. He is the eternal life. He is the vine, and if you'll just receive your life sap from that vine, you be the branch, and your branch will not wither. It says in Psalm chapter 1, that you will be like a tree planted by rivers of water who yields its fruit in its season. There is a season coming for you and you're going to yield your fruit, but it says whose leaf also shall not wither. That means there's times when you've got to just be taking the life sap. It doesn't appear like there's fruit yet, but it's going to come in its season. You're not going to wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. That's the word of truth, and that's the Lord. He is your life. We have more to say about this, but we're running out of time. But before I finish, I want you to just know that Jesus is your exceeding great reward. He wants your fellowship. He wants your trust. And your life comes from that, from Him, not from what's in your hand, not from what you're looking for. He wants to give it to you, and you're going to get it. But you've got to learn, dear brother and sister, that eternal life is Himself. Go for Him. Get alone with Him and start to lean on Him and say, "It is real. It is present in the spiritual realm. No matter what's going on, I have Him. I'm with Him. He's in me. Greater is He that is in me, and He loves me, and I will not be offended in the name of Jesus."
You've been listening to Rick Bell, author of the Interpulpit blog. For more teachings and information on Rick's ministry, please visit interpulpit.com. Thank you for listening. be blessed and rejoice. Jesus is coming soon, and he's even with you now.